All right. Well, good morning, LifePoint Church. Man, thank you all so much for being back here once again for LifePoint Online. Man, I am so thankful and humbled and honored that you choose LifePoint Church to be your place to connect with other believers and to connect with God and to grow more in His Word and to do life together. And so I'm just so thankful that you're here online. If this is your first time at LifePoint, man, you all are our honored guest. Welcome to the family. We're so glad that you're here. And if this isn't your first time, welcome back. Glad to have you. Glad to see you again. And as excited as I am to be here online with you guys, I'm even more stoked over the fact that in just 2 weeks, June 21st, we're going to be meeting in person once again. Yeah, we're going to continue to do online, but we're also going to have our doors open, and you can come and worship together and connect and do so in person. And man, I cannot wait for that. But until then, I'm thankful to have this platform, and I'm thankful to see all of you all here online. So if you've been here with us before, you know the drill. Go ahead, if you're watching live, go ahead and invite your friends. Get that watch party going. And whether you're watching live or after the fact, go ahead and get in that comment section. Jump in there, say hey to somebody, connect with each other, ask questions, encourage one another. It's a great opportunity to be together. And that's what we can do right now. So jump in that comment section. And I hope that you have an awesome time connecting and hearing what it is that God has to share with us all this morning. And to that, when thinking about and praying over what I was going to speak about this week and what God wanted me to share and preach on, there was one word that continued to just continued to pop into my mind. It continued to come back and surface over and over again. It's the word that is in my thoughts and actually comes out in conversation, in every conversation that I've had over the current events that are taking place in our world today, that are taking place right before our eyes. It's the word that I think about and that comes to mind when I think of the systemic racism that continues to exist within our country, which needs to be exposed and eradicated ASAP. It's the word that I think about when my heavy is or my heart is heavy and broken over the things that I see on the news, or when scrolling through Instagram, I see these acts of hate and violence, and my heart is crushed. And it's this word that comes to mind. It's also the word that comes to mind when I see the beautiful things that are transpiring in our world. When I look at also on social media and I see people united, coming together, arm in arm, in unity and passion, and standing together for truth. When I see these little bitty seeds of change beginning to be birthed, man, it's the word that comes to mind. It's also the word that comes to mind when I think about the fact that we're now 3 months into this COVID pandemic and crisis, and that comes to mind as I think about how we move forward from here. And it's the word that I'm so thankful that I can not only think of, but that I can claim. A truth that I hold on to as we walk these next steps into the future. As we walk these next steps into probably the greatest unknown of our lifetime, we have this word. It's a word that is there for us as we journey through all that has been 2020 up to this point. And that word is hope. It's hope. Man, hope that things will be better. Hope that things will actually be different. Hope that the people in our country and the leaders will actually realize and admit that liberty and justice has not been for all people up to this point, and that we've got to do something about it. Hope that as we move beyond this COVID pandemic, that it's going to be beautiful. That it's not going to be in vain. Hope that there's going to be beauty on the other side. Hope that as a result of everything, again, that's been 2020, that the church will have greater opportunity to live and to love like Jesus. And that the church would have a greater platform to share the gospel with anyone and everyone here in Louisville and in Kentucky and in the U.S. and in throughout all the nations to the ends of the earth. I mean, it's hope. Hope as we move forward. But you see, the reality is in times like this, times that we're currently in, it seems like hope may just like it's just out of reach, right? Like it's right there, but we just it's hard to obtain. It's hard to cling on to, and it's hard to hold. And then the next thing we know, we start to begin to be consumed with this toxic spirit of hopelessness. This hopelessness begins to like blanket and suffocate our heart and our life, leading us into this dark downward spiral. And maybe for you, that's nothing new. Maybe for you, that has nothing really to do with everything that's taken place, because you were feeling hopeless before March 2020, right? Maybe for you, it's that you've been dealing with hopelessness as a result of just being exhausted and frustrated over continuing to wrestle with the same issues and the same personal struggles. Maybe for you, it's some temptation or an addiction that you just can't seem to kick, or it's battling like relentless anxiety and depression. Or maybe for you, it's wrestling with just constant guilt and shame, or maybe fear or anger. But whatever it is, but you've been dealing with a sense of hopelessness for a while now. And it seems that nothing you do makes a difference. And you're left feeling lonely and helpless, worthless. You long for something to change, but it seems like nothing ever works out for you. I mean, this hopelessness can be crushing. And then ultimately sometimes leads to us feeling like everything is just meaningless. Like, what's the point? If I don't have hope, what's the point? And if you are feeling that way right now, whether it be from things going on in your life or things that are going on in our world today around us, if you're feeling hopeless, I want to let you know that you're not alone in that. That's not something that you need to hide or shy away from, but you need to be open about, and you need to share, and you need to begin to work through it, because you are not alone in feelings of hopelessness. In fact, King Solomon, the wisest dude to ever do this thing called life, when he looked back over his life, he was kind of left feeling the exact same way. He felt like things were meaningless and to an extent, hopeless. So let's go ahead and check out the words of Solomon found in the opening book of Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes that he wrote. And I think you're going to be a little surprised by what he writes. I think you're going to be surprised by it. And I think you're going to be a bit relieved, because honestly, as I read this today, there's a lot that I can relate to. And I think that you can as well. So I'm going to read this whole chapter, so hang tight with me, but listen up. If you have your Bibles with you or an app or whatever, go ahead and flip that up and follow along. Again, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It's 18 verses, so check it out. It says, "These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless." That's how he starts off. Everything is meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and sets, then hurries to rise again. The wind blows south and then north, around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run to the sea, but the sea is never full. The water returns again to the river and flows out again to the sea. everything is wearisome beyond description. And that's some brokenness there. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. Sound familiar? History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but actually it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. It's pretty pessimistic outlook, right? Verse 12, he says, I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. Let me say that again. He said, I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything under the sun, and really, it's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. I don't know if you've ever chased the wind, but you're not going to catch it. It's meaningless. Verse 15, what's wrong cannot be made right. What's missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have great wisdom and knowledge. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all of this is like chasing the wind. He's basically saying it was all meaningless. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase in knowledge only increased sorrow. These are some very negative, discouraging, depressing, and dissatisfied words from the wisest man that ever lived. Words in scripture, right? He was viewing everything as meaningless. Everything was hopeless. But Solomon was just, man, he was pouring out his heart. He was just being brutally honest at this point in time. But see, this was chapter one. And there are 12 total chapters in this book. So in writing this book, Solomon wasn't writing just to say how terrible everything is and that it's meaningless and then end it there. He wasn't trying to break down or destroy hope. But what Solomon was doing in this book is he was actually identifying hope. He was showing us what true hope is and where true hope comes from, to let us know that lasting and true and real hope is only found in God. Not in wisdom, not in knowledge, not in all the things. I mean, this dude had anything and everything you could ever want or imagine. And he said it was all meaningless, like chasing the wind. He was letting us know that hope is only found in God and nothing else. And within this book, right, within his brutal honesty, the key thing that Solomon wanted us to take away was that no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on around us, or no matter what may be going on or happening to us, he wanted us to remember there is still hope. Beyond everything else, there is still hope. Man, there's hope that no matter what you're facing, there's still hope. No matter what's going on or how jacked up this world is, there's still hope. No matter how discouraged or tired or fearful or sad or angry or hurt or lost that you may feel, there's still hope. And not only does King Solomon want us to know this, and not only does he tell us this, but we find this truth all throughout scripture. In fact, in doing a study on the word hope, I found that it appears some 128 times all throughout Scripture. So based on that, I'm pretty confident sitting here today and telling you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what, there is still hope. And from Scripture, one of the key truths about this hope that we're going to talk about is that there is always hope for the living. Specifically speaking, there is always hope for the living. I want you to always remember that truth. I want you to grasp that and keep that with you, that there's always hope for the living. And more generally speaking, we could break it down like this, that if you're physically alive, there's hope. Right? If you're physically alive, there's hope. See, later in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he's still being honest and he's still being really raw, but he says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. He says, "It seems so tragic that everyone under the sun suffer the same fate. That is why people are not more careful to do good. Instead, they choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyways." See, Solomon's still being a little negative, still being a little emo here, right? But he continues and he says this in verse 4. He says, "There is hope only for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion." Think about that. It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. He says there is hope only for the living. So with that said, if you are watching this right now, or if you're listening to this right now, I've got great news for you. There's hope. Because if you're watching or listening to this, that means that there's breath in your lungs and there's life within you. And there is always hope for the living. If you are physically alive today, there is hope. And don't get that twisted, and don't ever lose sight of that, because if you have breath, doesn't matter what you're facing, there's still hope. And you know, the same can be said spiritually as well. Not only do we have hope when we're physically alive, but most importantly, if you're spiritually alive, if you're spiritually alive, there's hope. If you're physically alive, there's hope because there's breath in your lungs. But if you're spiritually alive, there's hope. Eternal hope. Lasting hope. Hope that abounds. Because when we are connected to God in a true, like, legit relationship with Him, we are made alive. And no matter how dark or discouraging, or helpless, or even hopeless you may feel, if you are spiritually alive, if you're connected to the Father, there's always hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, Paul says this, very simply put, he says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Though these physical bodies that we have will one day fail us, and we will perish, we will die. That'll be it. We know that. But spiritually speaking, in Christ, we are made alive for all eternity. Therefore, we have hope upon hope. Romans 6:11 tells us this, "In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus," right? Dead to sin, dead to the old way of living and thinking and understanding, and made new in Christ Jesus. We are made alive in Him. We don't have to live like our old selves, which means we don't have to be hopeless, because we actually do have hope. When you are spiritually alive, you are made new a new creation. The old has passed away and all things are new, and therefore you have life. And if you have life, you have hope. See how this is going? And in John chapter 10, verse 10, we covered this a few weeks ago, but I want to say it again, that Jesus himself said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Then Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And so in knowing what Solomon said, that hope is only for the living, and then knowing that Jesus is telling us that he came to give us life, then ultimately we know that we have hope. When connected to the Father, we have true, deep, and eternal, lasting hope. Man, you see, with everything that's going on here in 2020, everything that's taking place, you know, a seeking to overcome this pandemic that has had us locked up, you know, and isolated for 3 months, that's really turned our lives upside down, and seeking to move past that, and watching as and participating in the millions that are speaking out and unifying together, standing arm in arm to bring about change and reform to a jacked up system, right? As millions of people stand together to bring real equality and justice to Black, Brown, and other people of color within this country. As the church, right? As we are seeking to embrace our true role, our true identity, our true mission in this world, to love, to serve, to give, to stand for truth, to protect, to embrace, and to do life together. Ultimately, sharing the gospel with anyone and everyone that we cross paths with. Here in Louisville and to the ends of the earth. As we seek to do all of this and work and navigate through all these things, hope is what's going to keep us centered. Hope is what's going to keep us focused on what really matters, moving in the direction that we need to move. Hope is what will sustain you and hold you up when things get tough and continue to be tough and challenging. Hope, man, true and lasting hope is vital for a life of focus, for a life of meaning, for a life of joy, and for a life of peace. And this morning, as we kind of wrap this thing up, I want you to understand, like I want you to clearly understand, if you don't take anything else away from today, take this, that this hope that we're talking about, right? This ultimate, lasting, and eternal hope, this hope is only found in a person. And that person is Jesus. This hope is a person, man. It's Jesus. And it's only through him that we can have and receive and experience this type of hope that I'm talking about. You see, Romans 15, verse 13, Paul says this about the hope that's found in Jesus. He says, may the God of hope, right? He's calling God a God of hope right out the gate. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Check this out. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That not only would you, when connected to Jesus because of him, have hope, but that you would actually overflow with hope. So you would have so much hope that it's going to spill out to anyone, everyone around you that's struggling, that's feeling hopeless, because you're overflowing with it. You have more than enough. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, it says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as gold or silver that you were redeemed from the empty, meaningless, hopeless way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Verse 21, through him you believe in God. See, through Jesus you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And check this out, so your hope and faith are in God. Your faith and your hope are in God. That's where true hope is rooted. It's because of Jesus. Don't ever forget that. That the hope that you have, if you have a connected relationship with Jesus, the hope that you have is only because of God. And if you want that type of hope and you don't have it, it comes through Jesus because it's a person. That hope is a person and it's Jesus. Placing your faith and hope in anything else, even if it's something good and beautiful, but placing your faith and your hope in anything other than Christ will only lead to disappointment. Trust me, I've been there. I've tried it. And it's empty. And it leads to disappointment. Because true and lasting hope is only found in a person, and that person is Jesus. And LifePoint, I don't know what each of you are exactly going through right now. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know necessarily what you're feeling. I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what you're battling with. But what I want to remind you, what I do know is that there is still hope. There's still hope for the living, which means there's still hope for you. And while things may seem dark and frustrating and pointless and meaningless and at times hopeless, remember that there is still hope. And it's not because of you. It's not because of how smart you are or how wise or how educated or the things that you have. As long as there's breath in your lungs, you have hope. And it's because hope is a person, and that person is Jesus. And when connected to him, regardless of what's going on around us, we can truly rest in hope because he is the God of hope. And that's where our faith and hope lies. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you this morning so much for the peace and the joy and the hope that we have in and through you. God, while we navigate and walk through some just honestly historic times, some challenging times, some difficult times, some optimistic times. God, may we remember that we have hope. When we have breath in our lungs, we have hope, and it's not only because of you. So God, may we claim that truth today. God, may those who don't know you as Lord and Savior, God, may they seek to know you today. May they confess and believe and place their faith and trust in you and receive that hope that they so desperately need. And God, may those who know you, who have that relationship with you, God, may they truly claim and the truth that they already have and access it and rest in that and not be living and to not live in fear and anxiety and stress and all these things about things that are taking place, but to rest in the hope that you give us, because not only do you give us hope, but it overflows. And we thank you for that, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. I thank you for LifePoint Church. I thank you for each person that's watching or listening today, God. I pray that you would bless them. I would give them wisdom and encouragement and of course, hope. God, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our salvation and for loving us despite our flaws and ridiculousness. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, again, LifePoint, thank you all so much for being here with us today and connecting with us. And you know, if this is your first time at LifePoint and you want more information or you have questions, man, feel free to reach out. You can drop a comment below and ask those questions, or you can say, hey, reach out to me, or you can shoot us an email or a direct message. However you choose to do that, whatever you're comfortable with, just go ahead and ask those questions. We're here for it, and we want to answer those questions and we want to connect with you. And we just want to thank you for being here with us today. If you want to know more about what it means, what it looks like, what it takes to be connected to Jesus, to have that personal relationship with him, the same thing, man. Drop us a comment, an email, or a direct message. You can throw up a hand emoji and say, hey, I want to know more about Jesus. And someone from the team would definitely get with you, or I'll directly get with you if you'd like that. You can still continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings through your giving here to Life Point Church. You can do that. You can mail in a check if that's what you're comfortable with. Or you can go over to our website. It's www.lpc502.com. You can go over there, and when you get to the website, the top right-hand corner is a Give Online button. You click that. It takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. But however you choose to give, we just want to thank you for being faithful to God and faithful in your giving and your tithe so that we can continue to reach more people and love more people and create more change, meeting needs of people, both physically and spiritually, because that's what we're about at Life Point. So we appreciate you being a part of that. Again, as I said early, in the message as we started, June 21st is our reopen date. It's in 2 weeks. So we're going to have more information in the weeks to come, more specifics and details. So watch out for that. And man, we cannot wait to see you. Again, Life Point, I love you guys so much. If you need anything, give me a shout. Don't hesitate to reach out. And we love you. And we are so thankful that we are doing life together, and that God has given us the opportunity to serve him and worship him, and the privilege of doing his work together. So thanks for being a part of that. We love you, and we will see you guys